episode 7, season 2 of The Fort Gang. It is also a pilot episode for video recording, so...
A lot of firsts happening.
See you over there. We also,
a lot of firsts.
Yeah, popping some cherries.
Yeah. First time video, first time of...
unless we're all ugly and that's not going anywhere.
Order in the fort, order in the fort, order in the fort, fort, fort. Order in the fort!
Episode 7. We're going to circle back to the content, but you're joined by your beautiful hosts. Not you. Your guest. Yeah. Joe John. What's up, guys? Face to the name.
The honorable attorney Joseph Johnson.
First of his name.
First of his name. Esquire. Legal. Prosecutorial.
FPC.
FPC. BBC HNIC.
Play the song again. Scotia Bank, TDIP.
Scotia Bank. Canandaigua National Bank. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
And what's your name on here again?
Noah Howell.
Noah, we're joined again by Noah Howell.
We are here with the venerable defense attorney, Noah Howell, straight out of Harvard Law, Harvard on the Lake.
Harvard on the Hill.
Harvard,
oh yeah, we were just talking about our school. Did you go to a community college at all, or did you go straight?
Flick.
Yeah. What did you call it? Oh, is that the same one?
No, I went to OCC, which was Harvard on the Hill. They called it.
So. And I went to Broome Community College, which was Yale by the Jail, because the Binghamton Jail was right behind it.
That's awesome.
A couple community colleges.
That's the best one.
And now we got have a podcast with 20 listeners.
One.
Yeah. Yale by the Jail. That was a good one.
20 listeners, but almost 300 followers. So explain that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. You know, like and follow and stuff like that. But also, people,
listen
to the damn podcast.
Yeah, if you're listening to this one, there's like 40 other of these bitches.
Yeah.
Say, what episode total?
This is episode 40.
Is it?
There's 30. Yeah, I was looking at our stats today. This episode 39 went up on the 15th. When are we?
If there's something that hasn't grasped your interest, tell us. We'll talk about it.
And we'll get you on the podcast.
And we'll get you on the... Yeah, we'll get you in here. We'll find people. I mean, that's the mark of a true podcast. If you say, I like white wines and I want to hear people talk about white wine, I'm going to go find the foremost experts on white wine. I'm going to learn about white wine, and then we're going to talk about it. So listen to the damn podcast.
Yeah, and if you're listening to this one, thank you.
Thank you.
Shout out to you.
And Rand.
Keeping the shout outs going.
Yeah. Shout out white wine.
Yeah, I prefer white over red. More of a dry guy, though.
More of a red guy. Too much sugar in the whites, and then I throw
Well, if you get a dry white, it's nice. Like when they gave me that.
I love my whites.
I had the original white.
So dry.
When we went for your birthday, and then they gave me a Moscato, and it was like grape juice. I hated it. We can just talk about the topic and see if Stevie P shows up before we get into
it. Today's episode is Order in the Fort. Now, this is... For those who have watched Judge Judy, People's Court, very similar, where we'll be taking pop culture grievances and bringing them to the tree fort in a courtroom setting. So I introduced the prosecutorial staff of Joe John in this episode. He is the prosecutor. Noah is the defense. I will be the judge overseeing the proceedings. I haven't said this yet. I am Philip Boughton, for those who are unaware. But here for you today, and it sounds like Stevie P just showed up, maybe.
Cool.
But the trial that we will be going through in the Tree Fort Court today is from House of the Dragon. The HBO smash hit prequel to Game of Thrones. For those who are watching, season two comes back June 16th.
Father's Day.
Father's Day, ironically.
Why is that ironic?
Because Viserys died.
Oh, I thought it was going to be because of the name of the episode was A Son for a Son, and it comes out on Father's Day.
That could be.
Yeah.
But, so for those that have watched
cheese episode.
Season one, you know, gave the introduction of the story. Basically, what happened there is Team Black, which is Rhaenyra Targaryen, the daughter and the named heir to the throne. And then Team Green was Alicent. We could put a pin in this.
Let's put a pin in it. We're going to introduce another member of the Tree Fort gang in person. We'll cut the camera on this part.
Okay. Sorry I'm late. It's just
no, you're good.
As a person.
Nice to meet you, dog. Great in person.
Corey.
Mason,
good to meet you, bro.
Whoa, we got to do podcast names here. What's going on?
Like, scratch that.
Noah.
All right, let me see if I can zoom this out for all of us.
Hi. Oh, it's been like 3 years.
Can I pick that dog?
No.
Can I pick that dog?
No, he's
sleeping. Can I pick that dog?
Have you watched House of the Dragon?
I have, and I'm actually in the process of rewatching it with my wife because she hasn't seen it yet, and I've been fighting her for the last like 2 months. Like, babe, you gotta watch it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're listening to this episode, you got no idea what's going on.
I'm very excited for season two. I was just talking about this, that's why we're recording the episode, because season two is about to go up, so we just thought it would be some fun. I was talking to Nassau yesterday.
She just started Game of Thrones.
And I was, she's into it right now. She just watched Battle of the Bastards last night, I think. I haven't talked to her, so I don't know. I assume she did, though. But I was talking about it. Season one of House of the Dragon, I kind of had a hard time getting into it because of the age up.
Yeah, the time skip was weird. But.
Yeah, especially when you weren't aware of what was happening, because like that was before I really was like super into like the lore of like the Dance of the Dragons.
It was very abrupt too.
Yeah,
like,
and
it just happened.
Episode ends, they're young, and then episode starts and they're old.
Yeah,
it's
like, that's not the same person.
20 years later.
And they did a great job with Allison. She looks like the same.
I thought it was the same actress.
Me too.
Yeah.
I forget her name.
I swear to God.
They did good with Rhaenyra too.
Like, she's a tough character in the show, but still very feminine, like, in her own way. And so I just had, like, she was Rhaenyra in my mind. So when I saw her actual persona outside of that character, I was just kind of blown away. Like,
okay.
That's Rhaenyra?
Yeah, hold on, I'm almost there. I don't know how to spell her
name.
I'm
also running on zero sleep in 37 hours, a can of Red Bull, and a glass of scotch.
Really? What the fuck?
Yeah.
Random.
Cut this part out.
Nice.
just put it lightly.
That's going in the intro.
No, it's going.
That's a cold open.
Yeah. I put more time into the intros every episode.
The editing's been great. I love it.
I feel like it sets a good tone.
When Charlie.
He's just tooting over here, dude.
Did he fart?
Just farted?
Yeah.
I thought that was a chair.
Then Mike might have picked that up. When Charlie Pipes talks about building a symphony, that was pretty beautiful editing. Yeah.
Dude, funny story about that. I was wrapping it up, and I just, that little banner between him and Joey Barry's about the A1 was one of my favorite parts of that whole episode. Just because it's so true, and he, like, Pipes even owned it. He's like, yeah, I get it, it's A1, but that's what I'm going with.
It's his meal.
Right? And I was taking a shit, and I was just thinking, like, I really gotta like beef that up even more, and it just popped in my head when I went through that part. I was like, I tried to write a symphony with that.
Yeah, and you put Beethoven's over it. Yeah. Did you get that? Did you listen to that yet?
What one?
It's the most recent episode. It's like 40 minutes in. So
I saw it
came out. Yeah, it's pretty deep.
Yeah,
that's why I only got 20 listens.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah,
two of them are me.
Yeah, one of them was me, so we had 16 not in this room with us.
But I know on my podcast.
It's like, my fault because it came out a day late.
No,
you're off schedule, like, it's going to throw things off.
I could not figure out how to get it to you as, like, not the MP3 file. That's why I sent it to you in GarageBand.
Well, it wasn't even, I had we had a stomach bug in my house that whole week. So I was
Yeah. Not doing shit other than shitting.
Nice. Well, it was a good episode. You were building the symphony.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was one of my favorites so far,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, I thought it sounded really good. Even though we were all remote, was nice too. Mm-hmm. Sounded real well.
It was a good one.
Yeah.
All right. 10 out of 10. Check it out if you haven't yet.
Yeah, after you finish listening to this one, we just talked about it. There's 40 other of these bitches. Go listen to them. Get them stats up.
For real.
Yeah, for real, for real. Shout out you for doing that, because you're going to.
True.
So, getting back to...
Yeah, bring us back in, Judge,
to
Judy.
Order in the Fort. Judy. So, this Judge is... Judge Cutie.
Judge Cutie.
This is the House of the Dragon. Joseph Johnson, Esquire, is prosecuting on behalf of Team Green. Right? So this is Alicent. Alicent, who...
I am a woman.
Was married to Viserys.
Okay,
mother to Aegon, who... usurped the throne, and Noah is representing Rhaenyra and the Blacks, who by all means were named.
He's a good black
character. Can't do that.
No. Wakanda forever!
Yeah. Representing the Blacks. and Rhaenyra for their stake of the throne. So what we're going to do, each lawyer will...
Side.
There's got to be another name. There's another name in here. I just can't pull it out yet.
Yeah, you guys are going to see listening to this. I would love for one day to actually have this set up with like a court show with like the didn't. Yeah.
And he's going to wear the white.
Yeah,
the white.
We don't have nearly like 4 or 5.
I mean, this is the first one.
Yeah, I was going to say, we don't nearly have the budget for that just yet. So this is
going to
be court. This is going to be in the theme of a court setting. But basically, we put together 3 arguments for our sides and we're going to go through them together.
Episode 20 of Order in the Fort will be in a courtroom. And there will be the guy at the end to interview the people. It'll be fantastic. We'll have costumes. Don't worry about it.
Judge Letitia. Rochester's judge. Hashtag will be our judge.
Drunk judge.
We'll bring in a real judge.
So what will happen? Both of them, both attorneys, will be able to make their opening remarks. Obviously, prosecution will go first, making their claim, then defense, no, you're prosecution, aren't you?
I think so.
That would make more sense because Green right now has...
That's fine. I mean, we'll just kind of get out our statements.
I've been saying it backwards the whole time. So the Blacks are prosecuting the Greens.
You're accusing me of usurping the throne.
The accusation of usurping the throne, yes. So opening arguments, then each attorney has 3 points, all right? So they will have... 3 minutes. Stevie P, our bailiff here, timekeeper, will keep the time. So they will have...
We probably will not go over, but...
Yeah.
They will have 3 minutes. 3 minutes to make their point, and then which case the other person will have a 2-minute rebuttal, and then from that rebuttal, they have 3 minutes to make their point until we get to closing arguments. Then they make the closing arguments, and then myself, who's keeping an open mind, unbiased, not rigged, doing a great job.
They say it's rigged.
A great job. Everybody says it.
What a fair lawyer.
I said, wow, what a judge.
Yeah, what a fair judge.
What a fair judge.
The fairest there is.
He does not have to recuse himself. He's not corrupt. He will.
That's exactly what a corrupt judge would say.
I'm just saying.
Let me see how much money's in your pockets.
There's no, there.
Let me reach in your pockets real quick.
There's nothing in there, but earlier I found a Hawaiian punch.
the whole bottle.
I found a Hawaiian punch.
Nani?
Like sleeve, the little powder. And I was like, oh, sweet.
Nice.
I forgot I put it in there. And then I was just like walking around and
Like, what that's better than that? Finding money in your pocket.
Yeah. So I made a Hawaiian punch.
Pleasant surprise.
So now I pay more.
So now
when life hands you Hawaiian punch packets, you make Hawaiian punch.
Exactly. Exactly. So, so yes, then I will make the ruling. There, we could get into, you know, maybe later down the road, especially because this is season two. If we wanted to have an appeals process,
oh, a retrial,
we could have a retrial. We could do appeals, but the appeal, I was thinking we should incorporate shots into that. We'll think about that. Well,
yes.
Again, this is episode one of Order in the Fort. So with that being said, are we all ready?
Yeah.
Do you know how you want to start this? I'm already, my hands are sweating. I'm like nervous.
I want to clean.
Yeah, just, well, just since, because I was going to start first.
So,
you want to start?
So, well, I was going to do, well, before we flipped it, do you have any initial, like, statements on just how you want to frame it? Because I know how I want to frame this.
I mean, I think that Rhaenyra should be the queen.
This is not your opening.
He is a.
So it begins.
He was. Yeah. He is a state attorney. He was provided by the state at no cost.
No comment.
You cannot afford a lawyer. One will be provided to you.
Yeah, that everybody talks about.
He has a lot of other cases.
He's, he's an intern at the public defender's office.
Yeah. All right, then I guess I'll start.
So
I have more powerful.
The prosecution has the opening statement. So there being so.
The blacks.
This is you there.
Have the floor.
Bailiff, go ahead. And
you have until three minutes or like a fart.
The time.
Whichever
them,
comes first.
Let him know when time starts. And let's begin.
Let's keep it fair.
I'm still going for my first point here, then.
We don't have opening statements.
You don't have an opening statement. Okay.
No, I didn't structure it like that. Sorry.
Okay.
But I just said that Rhaenyra was... Name the rightful heir and the legitimate, you know, had the legitimate claim to the throne. He had all, Viserys had all of the lords of the land of Westeros basically devote themselves to her in front of the public. In Westeros, the king's word is pretty much law, whatever he says goes, and he did say that she was the heir. She's the firstborn heir. She's pretty much, I think she's like 75% Targaryen pure blood. I think she's got like 25%
pure blood
of something else in there. But Aegon's 50-50. It would be 50-50. That's what I got for my first point.
So that's your opening statement. Okay.
He's here to prove why the blacks are there.
So as far as the opening statement goes, the scene that you're talking about is when the, like, it was Craigan's dad.
Yeah.
But the Stark and then all the dudes with the swords, like, yeah.
When Viserys first announced she was the heir after the death of his son.
Gotcha. Okay. Understood. All right.
Your Honor.
Rebuttal for that.
Well, I'm not going to rebuttal. My client has been defamed.
Okay.
I'm here to represent the Greens, who are not usurping the throne, who are entitled to the throne. I am here to point out the bias in the media of the House of the Dragons show and how it frames the blacks as the ultimate body that deserves the throne. And I hope my arguments today can illustrate those points.
I hope so as well.
I got you.
That's your opening statement.
Mm-hmm.
That was a great opening statement. So
I just thought of that.
Was that
you
your,
just thought of that.
Yours was your first point?
Yep.
Okay. So from your opening statement, continue with your first point.
Yes. So you said, and I know you kind of recapped it, but your main point's about fealty. So am I going through my point or am I rebuttaling?
Your point.
Both. I
so,
guess.
Well,
but, yeah,
I said you could rebuttal his first point. So you got 2 minutes to rebuttal.
Okay.
So go ahead and rebuttal his point about fealty, yes.
I would argue that certainly happened at one point, but I would definitely argue that a number of things have happened that are on paper tracked since then that have shown new allegiances. And I think I can get into this right now. Alliances was going to be my second argument. So it's in the best interest of the realm to have the best alliances possible, right? The Greens have, so who do the blacks have, right?
Right now it's just the
they have the Starks up in Winterfell.
Yet. The Starks, not yet. In the show, not yet.
Okay. They're going to...
There they are, but right now it's just the Valyrians.
You're fair. Okay. The Valyrians.
In season one.
And I think they also have the Vale.
Sir Eric. There's two, like him and his brother.
Well, Eric
one's
and
on
Arik.
The Green.
Yeah,
yeah,
Eric and Arik.
In the Vale, yep.
regardless, you know what? I don't even care who your alliances are. It is in the best interest of the realm and King's Landing to have the best alliances possible. The Green Faction has alliances immediately to the west in the Lannisters of Casterly Rock and Lannisport. They have sworn fealty to the Greens. We have the Baratheons, who have, at the end of Season 1, turned down the Blacks' approach in favor with the Greens. So we have the Stormlands to the south. And then we also have the Riverlands to the northwest because of how Strong has also sworn fealty to us. So if we're looking at how to put the realm in the best position, we need to look at where the strongest allegiances are. And I think Team Green has those allegiances.
Your rebuttal.
I guess I can get into my, like, it's like that's one of the same of my points, though, because it just goes against, like, why Aegon isn't fit to be king. Because, I mean, basically, he's just going to.
What are you going
to
say about my allegiances?
Rebuttal his allegiance points.
Yeah, what do you, what is your counter to that?
That's hard, because, like you said, with the Baratheons are going back on their word, they already swore allegiance, and the only reason they didn't is because Alicent offered up a daughter to the Baratheons, or like that they would have, they'd be able to marry in, where Rhaenyra was just like, nope, you just have to, you already swore loyalty with to us, just, you know, follow through.
Are you questioning the loyalty of House Baratheon on the record?
Yep.
You'll have your eyes.
Yep.
You'll have your moment, sir. Continue with your rebuttal of the allegiances.
That's all I got.
That's all
I
got.
I mean,
okay.
House Valyrian is really strong and powerful. They hold the seas and a lot of the coin right now.
Yeah, and they swore fealty to us.
No, Valyrian's right.
Oh, I thought you said strong. Sorry.
Yeah, Valyrian.
You were saying they were strong.
Yeah, they are.
Yes.
Saying.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay.
Your second point now. Allegiances are as fickle as the tides.
There you go.
That was deep.
Okay.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Whoa. This is exactly like the show. It's framing the blacks as the good guys.
Okay.
This is bullshit. It's what I'm talking about.
We will strike that comment from the record. Thank you.
The Noah record.
So now, Noah, your
yeah,
second,
what's your second argument?
Your second point here to make.
Okay. It's kind of just anti-green. Like, why?
That's your whole case.
They're not fit to be leaders of the realm anymore, so just, you know, look out for themselves. You saw with Otto, he even said like his biggest goal was to get his family into the throne and take over the throne. He's kind of just been whispering in Alicent's ear, and when she found out like he was doing all this just to like get on the throne and plan to kill Rhaenyra, she kind of backed off and was trying to take more power so that she could kind of have things go better. And then so at the end, her and Rhaenyra kind of we're getting more friendly, so that could lead to better things. But I think it all starts with Otto and him trying to get his family on to the throne. Aegon, I don't think is fit. He's kind of, you know, hot-tempered. He's a rapist. He raped his maiden enough to, I don't know if you've made the point about bastards, but enough to have the maiden they drink the milk of the poppy or something, basically to, you know, kill the potential baby.
What was it called? It was a tea that they gave.
Yeah,
her.
the moon tea.
I could have used moon tea once or twice in my life, I'll tell you that much.
Shout out moon tea.
Yeah. And then I just think about, like, I know Daemon isn't great, but some of the people who would be in power, and I think about Aemon, who's kind of just like a loose cannon. He's took the most powerful dragon and killed one of Rhaenyra's sons. Just like that, I think he just lost control of the dragon, but still not the best decision.
Okay.
I know that Daemon has committed murders, but some of the murders, they were, you know, criminals. They didn't show anything in terms of like what they did, but they were deemed criminals, the guys that he killed. So,
okay. I wouldn't make your case defending your guys.
Your rebuttal to.
Yeah.
To Noah's point too.
And I will say,
your point too.
I just want to add that that's kind of a show thing. Alicent and Rhaenyra having a relationship in the books, they fucking hate each other.
I know.
So you're questioning.
Alicent's way more. hardcore in the show. Like, she's way more like...
She's with it. She's like good. Yeah. She's good with the plan. She just hates Rhaenyra in the book. Mm-hmm. So you're questioning the fitness of Aegon. I'm going to counter that by questioning the fitness of your queen, Rhaenyra. I believe that Rhaenyra has demonstrated multiple times she's an unfit queen. She is a whore. Her children are bastards.
Her children are bastards! And she is a whore.
She has shown complete and utter disregard for all norms, traditions, and policies set forth by her predecessors. And most recently, she has abandoned her throne, the people of King's Landing, by leaving for Dragonstone. I do not believe that that makes someone fit to rule when they run. And I think that her actions have shown a complete disregard for everything that it takes to become queen of the Seven Kingdoms. Six Kingdoms, maybe, at the time. Not Seven Kingdoms.
Seven.
Mm-hmm. Dorne came in later. I didn't know if it was before or after that.
My two questions. Why was she on Dragonstone?
They left. The vibes weren't good.
I'll talk about it, yeah. Well, yeah, as soon as Aegon was named king, they felt that they were in danger, so I think they fled the Dragonstone because it was like the safest spot for them.
I thought they were already there, and then they heard Aegon was named king when Otto showed up.
They left there. They came back when Viserys was on his last leg. That's when he met Viserys III and Aegon III.
Wasn't it because Daemon was Lord of?
Oh no, yeah, Viserys sent her to Dragonstone.
I think she abandoned her post.
I don't think she did.
Oh, I thought it was because Daemon married the Velaryon woman, and they were Lord and Lady of Dragonstone. And then when his wife died from the dragon, he maintained his lordship of Dragonstone, and when he married Rhaenyra, she assumed her position by his side in Dragonstone, because that was her highest ranking title at that time. She was still only princess, right? So Lady of Dragonstone outranks princess, but if she or when she became queen, she would then have to go back to King's Landing. That's how I interpreted it.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
What does Google say?
This is based off awolafwesteros.org.
Okay.
Harold advised Rhaenyra to sail the Lady Arryn in the Vale. So I don't think they have a partnership with the Vale. And the Manderly brothers offered to bring her to White Harbor, but she refused them and sailed the Dragonstone instead. So it says. So she just got with the Dragonstone.
Yeah, she left. Yeah. The vibes were fucked, and she abandoned her boat. Things got hard, and she dipped. And I think we've seen time and time again with her actions in season one that she would not be a fit queen. She's incredibly selfish. She does not care about what happened before her time. She talks about revolution, but she has no plan. I rest my case. I rest my argument.
No, I ask. I also.
I was going to say something about that.
My other question is, do the presence of bastards negate the the nobility of the person in question?
I think, and just in overall in Westeros, just the history of Westeros.
It's a woman.
Westeros, yes. I think, because like even in like Game of Thrones, Robert Baratheon has bastards, but they tried to hide him. So you remember they tried to hide like the Smith's son or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
So
Gendry.
Yeah, Gendry. So
do we want a whore ruling the Seven Kingdoms?
Did you want Dany ruling Seven Kingdoms? Did you want Cersei?
Your Honor, relevance, Your Honor.
I'm just asking. I'm asking questions. I'm asking questions. Okay. So, was that was your rebuttal?
That was my rebuttal / second argument.
What was the argument was there?
Because his argument was Aegon's unfit, and I was explaining how Rhaenyra
that lined
unfit.
Up perfectly. Then yes, okay.
And great. Then
your third point.
You said, like, she was breaking traditions and stuff like that. Like, he wasn't keeping traditions with, like, King Jaehaerys, you were saying. That's kind of, like, yeah, my third point. She's, like, breaking the wheel, you know, to quote Daenerys, like you were saying. Trying to just change tradition, be more progressive, you know, have a queen come in and lead the way for more fit queens in the future, potentially. We saw it where Viserys and his cousin Rhaenys, she was more fit to be queen or to be the leader than he was. Even, but he was a man, so he got the lead, made all these bad decisions that took us to where we are today.
Okay.
Yeah.
A rebuttal to that, and your third point.
So I hear you talking about progress. I would argue that we are coming off of two of the most peaceful tenures of reign in the history of the Seven Kingdoms between Viserys, first of his name, and Jaehaerys, was it second of his name? Might have been, yeah. Those were two incredibly peaceful, incredibly peaceful and prosperous periods for the Seven Kingdoms, ruled by men. My last argument here is in regards to keeping with tradition and keeping with precedent. This case has already been tried. During the succession of, finding the successor of Jaehaerys Targaryen, first of his name, ruler of the Andals, when Viserys was chosen over, is it Rhaenys?
Rhaenys.
Precedent. Well, this was already tried. All the families of the Seven Kingdoms were involved. They all took a vote, and it was decided that in the situation when the king does not have an immediate heir, offspring, it will go to the closest male heir, being Viserys.
Because so, the king doesn't have an immediate offspring at all.
He didn't have any children alive.
Okay. So,
and it was between his niece. I think it was his, like, brother's
Jaehaerys.
Daughter, which is Rhaenys.
Right.
So his niece versus his, like, grandson or something
Viserys
like that.
Viserys and Rhaenys were cousins.
Okay. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So I think, I mean, this has already been proven. This has already played out. Not in a court setting, but within all the with all the families that matter, we've ruled on this, and I think that what you're trying to do and what Viserys tried to do is upheave the tradition that put him in that position of power to begin with. I rest my case.
Okay. A closing argument from
I have a final trump card
or a rebuttal, excuse me.
But it's called the Widow's Law in Game of Thrones, which essentially. Once a king has married one queen and has given birth an heir, if that queen has died, the next queen that he's married, any of those children cannot be deemed the heir to the throne. It always goes to the heir of the first queen.
Where'd you find that?
Some page when I was doing some research today, dude.
he was hitting the books.
Whoa. That's... Okay, so anytime the original queen dies,
and they remarry,
if the children of the second queen,
if it's already children from the first queen,
okay,
they're the heir.
Children from the second queen are
has that
have no claim.
Has that popped up in?
Yeah, has that case been tried?
I don't know.
Okay,
not that I'm aware.
It might not be a show law, but.
It's lore. Yeah. It's lore.
No,
lore law.
Yeah.
Your most solid argument. Yes.
I know. So I'm saying just
You did pull that out.
Yeah.
Well, you should have just wrote Widow's Law on that page.
Right. Here,
like draft day. Just Widow's Law no matter what.
Did you want to see some documentation, Your Honor?
Yeah, let me see if I can find the exact wording for it. But go ahead.
Yes. If you could find the scriptures of.
Yeah, my only response to that argument would be, I don't know if that has been.
So this
I don't
is
know
the,
if that's been
this
tested.
Is his close or his. That's your rebuttal, right, Noah?
Yeah. Sorry.
Okay. Yep.
It's from the same website from the
At Song of Ice and Fire website.
The AW. Yeah.
Yeah.
To rectify in 52 AC, King Jaehaerys implemented the Widow's Law, reaffirming the right of the eldest son or daughter. To inherit, but requiring said heirs to maintain surviving widows in the same conditions as a... I found a way easier version earlier. But if a lord's widow be a second, third, or fourth wife, could no longer be driven from his or her castle. Saying that they also can't kick him out of the castle, too. I don't know if they've been trying to do that, but that also might be an issue.
Around 53 AC?
No, I mean right now.
Trying to kick who out of the castle?
So, to inherit, but requiring said... heirs to maintain surviving widows in the same conditions they enjoyed before their husband's death.
So that talks about the widow. It doesn't talk about their children. Yeah, you can give it a second.
The easier one.
You can phone a friend. Can you take that up with my counsel?
Can we call 50-50, Your Honor?
A recess for the court?
I will allow this moment.
Sidebar.
Yes. I'm interested in the Widow's Law.
There it goes. The page I found out about earlier.
The Widow's Whale.
Yeah. No, I think that's what you're... I think you read whale wrong. It's law. It's not whale.
Almost. Yeah.
This law emphasizes the right of inheritance of the eldest son or daughter. And the law mentions that if a man's wife dies and he marries someone else, deprivation of inheritance for a child from the first marriage is prohibited. Reaffirming that the right of the eldest son or daughter, if there was no son, requiring son heir to maintain surviving widow in the same conditions. So I think it's just saying if there is kids of the first wife.
The initial offspring.
Yeah. Like everything, all the rights still go to them, even though there is a new queen.
Yeah, I'm reading a Reddit thread right now. It's why the widow's law makes Rhaenyra the clear heir of Viserys.
Yeah,
you should just read this Reddit post. Has your whole argument. Dude, that was pretty long. It's literally
point
like a legal
one,
argument.
Widow's
no, it
law,
has
point two. Widow's law.
Here's
point three.
Here are the sections widow's for it. Law. Who is the rightful heir for Viserys? That's a paragraph. Background paragraph on the law. Content of the law paragraph. Yes. Rhaenyra being named heir, paragraph. Rhaenyra staying heir after Aegon's birth, paragraph. Heir isn't equal king/queen, paragraph. Conclusion, paragraph. So you should have just read that Reddit post.
Just kept it, yeah. Yeah. Just
I wrote
that.
This whole thing.
Okay.
That's it. Okay.
So that is your rebuttal and closing
final
argument?
Final point. Yeah.
Closing argument is just widow's law.
Yeah.
Just spent. Well, your argument's been tried out in the law.
Mr. Johnson, your rebuttal? And then closing argument.
Certainly, and I appreciate the council bringing that litigation to the table for us to look at.
Yes.
In closing, I do think that I made a strong case here that it is in the best interest of the citizens of King's Landing, the citizens of all seven kingdoms, to have a strong leader in King's Landing that can bring all of the people together. I hear what you're talking about with the Widow's Law, but I think all of that is supplanted by the fact that... as your case is also put into evidence, the Blade talks about, when heated, talks about how the kingdom must come together to fight off a great threat from the north. We need a strong king in power for that. We need someone the people will follow. And I think that man is Aegon Targaryen, second of his name, king of the men, first men in the Andals.
All right.
Do we need to stop to deliberate for a second?
Would you like a short recess, Your Honor?
Yes, we can take a short recess.
I'll fuck you up.
Is Aegon the one who becomes the Mad King?
No.
Okay. It's like
that's
grand.
That's fifth.
Okay, yeah.
That's the fifth.
He's Aerys.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you're right. It's Aerys, not even Aegon. Because Jon Snow is sixth of his name. Spoiler.
Yeah.
Nassau,
cover your ears.
Yeah, she should probably be done by that.
I think the lineage chart shows that the Mad King is the grandson or great grandson of.
Sorry, like 3 days
of Aegon.
Okay. Even though it doesn't matter about Jon Snow in Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
I'd also like to point out how confident
the most
in my
nothing
Damon
plot
Dragonstone argument, and that was completely wrong.
I don't know. So.
Like a.
What are we doing in this recess at night?
No, I just didn't know. I just didn't know if, I mean, yeah, I just didn't know if you wanted to declare a winner or what.
Judge QD.
I think I have a decision. So if we come back from the recess, okay. I have reached my decision. I want to thank both attorneys for...
Thank you, Your Honor.
Making...
My hands are sweaty, so...
Yeah.
Are your knees weak?
Really?
No. My hands are sweat, dude.
Arms
are vomit on your sweat.
When I was getting my first argument, I was nervous, man. My I was clammy. I could feel it in my chest.
But see, this is... So, I'm glad that you're saying this, because this is the type of feeling we got to bring to this.
Anxiety?
Pressure?
Fear?
Pressure, anxiety, fear, preparation. We're here. And this is the level.
Hopefully something erotic.
Yeah. We'll all go crank after this.
Speaking of erotic,
back to back,
fear and anxiety.
You called me earlier, right?
I have the utmost respect for the legal process and the judicial system.
Yes.
But I have a curveball for you guys.
Okay.
Okay.
I love this court.
And I want you to keep an open mind and think big picture.
Does this have to do with erotic stuff, or is this...
If I were to take my pants off... No, I'm kidding.
I'm
serious argument.
I'm joking.
I kid. The Valarians. Mm-hmm. I think you made a great point by saying tradition is a strong argument for lordship, for the Iron Throne. And if you remember in the very beginning, Viserys probably shouldn't have been, but they were like, no, he's a dude, so it's going to him. When technically, Rhaenys should have been queen.
Should she have?
They have the most pure Valyrian bloodline out of any of the remaining families. Mm-hmm. So if you think about it, if they keep their bloodline as strong as it is, they will have the strongest link to dragons, which dragon trumps pretty much any army.
Who has the most dragons? What side?
Your side. I thought that was going to be one of your arguments.
That was not, yeah, I was thinking about
that
it.
That didn't even come up. Nobody said the word dragons.
As the bloodline wears on,
we're suing for
peace. I think that the Valarians will have the strongest pure blood lineage. She, in my mind, was actually the rightful heir from the get-go. Just a thought.
Counterpoint to that, that bloodline is dead the minute those bastards were born from strong blood.
Yeah, but now her name and have two kids, too.
Yeah, because the strong boys are going to marry the daughters.
One of the strong boys.
Yeah, but that has nothing to do with the Valyrians.
Oh, yeah, I hit you right.
Lena and Daemon's kids marry the strong boys. Or supposed to.
Still mm-hmm. sounds like a diluted bloodline to me. Bela.
The strong boys will dilute it by about 25% if you
couple take... of strong boys.
Strong boys.
But still, that Valyrian bloodline would be the most pure Valyrian blood. They had a strong claim to the throne to begin with, and if you... going off script the way they did, naming Viserys heir, yeah, it had peace for a while, but as we saw as the show went on, season one, shit kind of hit the fan because that dude couldn't keep his family together. He was useless.
He couldn't keep his body together.
Right.
He was losing parts.
He squashed it all by making everyone swear fealty to Rhaenyra, but then he goes cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs and can't do anything besides moan and get leeches.
He did also tell Allison Hightower on her deathbed that Aegon should be king.
But so he talking about what Aegon really
he started
about.
The issue.
He was talking to Allison.
He ended the issue, and then he started the issue again.
So, the points that I want to get out. So, just the point that you're making, that he said that he wants Aegon to be king. Oh wow, everything's correct.
Your Honor, I heard that. I know, yeah. I feel like the mic probably picked that up.
Good. So he said Aegon, and she took that as their Aegon.
He said it to Allison, the mother of his Aegon.
But he thought he was talking to Rhaenyra.
Can you prove that?
That was what he thought. I'm not. I'm stating.
How do you know he thought that?
But also, in episode one, he tells Emma that he had a dream that his Aegon would be the prince who was promised and would save the world. Now, for those who have watched Thrones, we know that's not correct. But he did say that, but then he thought he was talking to Rhaenyra. He does say something like, you know, come my daughter or something like, he says something that he thinks he's talking to Rhaenyra. But anyway, it is kind of like, on that point. The point of allegiances in the realm, the Valyrian fleet, the strongest fleet there is, control the seas. The first couple episodes where the Triarchy is taking over, that really messed some stuff up. So I think if you lose them, that could be bad. So your point about the folks that sided with the Blacks, it was the Valyrians, but in that meeting, it was the Starks,
the Baratheons, and there was somebody else.
Are you talking about in the beginning of the season, or
in season one at with the swords
when she's a kid?
I was Olive Lord.
Isn't it Frey? Well, they showed like four people in general.
Yeah, I think there was a Frey.
So the point is, yes, that the alliances were fluid at times. I think Aegon would have had the people's support. I think, obviously, because he's in charge now and not many people are uprising just yet. From the black side, I also agree with your point, Jojon, that the show very much does paint the blacks in a favorable light, with obviously the most dragons. Everybody gets jacked up about the dragons,
which they don't even have dragon riders for all of those dragons yet. Right.
And Daemon being my favorite character,
the judge that puts his bias aside, mentioning his favorite.
I can do that. I think they developed those characters more because you don't know much about Alicent beyond the page in the book. You don't know much about Criston Cole other than he hooked up with.
He got some cheeks and fucking cried about it.
Plays.
We've all been there.
He's mad, yeah, right? And so, Otto is a douche. But as far as the ruling goes, I think both points, or all points, were made very well, and I commend both attorneys on their duties here today. I think the Widow's Law was the ace in the hole.
I'm calling it. Yeah, I'm definitely.
I was not expecting that at
it's
all.
It's not bias at all.
You literally, see that smile, Craig?
So, you had it until he brought
it. I agree.
I think he did a way better job.
That was a Hail Mary.
Yeah, you had that until
you made great points,
up.
Though. Like, you had really good arguments.
I was like, you said I'm biased. The whole time, I'm like, fuck, I got to say the Greens. And I'm like, okay.
From
and
what I've gathered.
Your points were fantastic, but as soon as you said that and then proved it with the precedent, it's like, our hands are tied.
From what I've gathered, because I watched a shit ton of like YouTube videos where people talk about Game of Thrones and House of the Dragon, It seems like being Team Black is a very normie opinion. People that are like in the weeds.
Very normcore.
In the weeds of House of the Dragon are Team Green.
Yeah, I think.
From what I've seen.
The more I read, it's like, oh, shit, like. You know,
but
like,
what's the worst thing he did? Have a wank out the window and rape one person? He's also the Mike Vick.
It's one person.
Like, only one.
He's the Mike Vick of kid fights.
I like Allison's character. I like Aemond. I hate Otto. Aemond's the worst.
So it's funny. So
think about it. They got rid of Otto. Like,
Otto's been
in the beginning.
Playing chess like crazy.
No. They kick Otto out once and then he gets kicked out again.
He is like the little finger of. Yeah, House of the Dragon.
So, super the interesting thing about the show, it's not...
Neither side is great.
Can I also enter into the record that Laura Strong is a fucking creep?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Feet guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, I forgot about that.
So, the interesting thing is, it's not warring families. It boils down to warring friends. Mm-hmm. Rhaenyra and Allison. And the... kind of all of those points that you made, like the deeper that you get into it. And yes, I do think that they very much so give the blacks the upper hand, but we're also one season into it. Like by season three, are we like, okay,
Rhaenyra
sucks.
It does seem a lot more like the marketing of season two is very much framed with a two sides.
Yeah.
I mean, they're explicitly doing it in some other ads.
But even the two sides. So, from what I know, it seems that the Greens will fracture a bit. That it will be Allison and Aemond kind of separating. That we know, obviously, Vhagar ate Luke and Araxes,
yep,
or whatever. But, you know, it. I'm really excited to see, does he take credit for it? Does he pass blame? Because I think in the book that he took credit for it.
And yeah,
that,
and the show kind of framed it like an accident.
Yeah, he lost
where
control.
He was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
I just wanted to pretend it.
I was just trying to fuck with him for taking my eye.
Yeah.
From a dragon's, and Aemon, after listening to a bunch of stuff, Aemon is Daemon.
Yeah.
It's just a mirror of Daemon. So
I love that face off between them.
I know.
Like,
I can't
the family
wait
dinner
for that.
When he just just gave him this look like, I know who you are.
Yeah.
And you know, the young one was like,
I know who you are. I'm you. Yeah.
But that dinner, he was at first he was like in wow of Daemon when he killed Corlys's brother.
Yeah.
I can't think of his name.
He can keep his
name. I want you to, also, when you get there, when I said she's a whore, I want you to, if you can, I want you to get the audio clip of where he says it and calls her a whore, because
he does a
good job.
Yeah.
She is a whore! Something like that.
Yeah. They are bastards!
Yes, yeah.
I got you, fam!
So we gotta get that in there.
So yes, I think it...
Your Honor, if you don't rule with me, I'm gonna kill myself.
In your house.
In your courtroom.
So... Officially,
I thought
the ruling
wasn't bad.
What your
third opinion?
Oh,
if you want to go independent,
I think
a friend of the court.
Officially, Team Blacks, as of right now. Now, this is where the appeal.
This is like when you score more, you get more buckets in basketball.
We're taking notes
all
season.
Yeah.
What?
We're taking notes all season.
Yeah.
Not defend, but
this is a great argument right
here of Rhaenyra. Until she started going against the traditional norms,
she was starting sleeping around
Allison's head about like it has to be a male that leads.
Well, Allison,
guys that you sleep with.
Allison was never given autonomy in her life. She
was originally
put your mom's green dress on. Like
originally she was like the cupbearer for Jaehaerys, or like in his circle because Otto put her there, and she was kind of I don't think anything ever happened like in the books, but he was like pimping her out to him.
Yeah.
And then Jaehaerys takes over and he pimps her out to him after his wife dies, and then she becomes queen and she has no say. So it's so that's why she hates in the book she hates Rhaenyra. This is why she's so distant from her in the show, is because Rhaenyra is the exact opposite of that.
Yeah.
She has never had to do any of this because her dad was the king. She never suffered any consequences.
And I wonder if your winning argument about the law is going to come into play, because the Aegon that we all think.
Yeah.
King Viserys was talking about was Rhaenyra's son with Daemon, right?
Now that we're not
But according to
this.
That law, he has no claim to the throne. Because
it would be
she's his second wife and he's her second
bastards.
Husband.
Well, actually they never married, they never wed, so
And also
who?
Alison and Viserys did.
No, I'm talking about
Laenor?
Rhaenyra?
Rhaenyra's sons. The bastard.
The
sons.
Strong. The real dad.
Yeah, but she
dad.
Was married to Laenor.
Yeah,
she was married
the
to
right.
Yeah,
so should be, yeah, but
the,
about him,
yeah. And yeah. then he sailed away.
She sailed
yeah.
away.
So
yeah.
first off, their marriage is illegitimate. But
he's going
your
to
argument fits that bill perfectly because
yeah, so
that is a true Targaryen pure blood offspring
yeah.
who Viserys thought would be the prince that was promised, but he has no claim to the throne because of that law.
Yeah. And also in the books, the Valyrians are not black. Like, you know, watching the show, I think they look sick. But in the show, they're all white people.
Oh,
or in the books, they're all white
right.
people. So it's very
it's
hard.
Like,
it's much
so
harder
hair,
to tell
but...
who's a bastard. Yeah.
Those are bastards. Prove it.
Yeah. In the show, it's incredibly easy.
Seriously?
It's a tough one.
And then you even have Corlys. He's like, oh, no, they're not my grandkids. But they got the name.
Yeah.
Like, but they're cool. Yeah, whatever.
They're bros. They're sweet.
They're chill.
He just want, well, he's like, he even told his wife, he's like, blood does not matter. It's just the name. And it's just what people think.
Hold on. Tatiana and the boys want to say goodnight quick.
Thanks. Do I just want to talk about season 2 coming up a little bit then? Or anything else you want to cover?
I'm excited for Dragons.
I'm excited for I'm excited to see Aegon's dragon, because that thing is beautiful.
Do you guys know a bit about what happens in the books?
Yeah. So we won't do any...
We're not going to say anything.
We won't do spoilers, but I'm hype on Father's Day, the episode that comes out as a son for a son.
Yep.
So that's very fitting for the Father's Day narrative. I'm excited. And then I was listening to something today, and they were talking about, like, all the trailers that we've seen. They think all that footage is only from, like, the first 4 episodes, and it's going to be 8-episode seasons. So they were talking about it should be 64
minutes we get. Mm-hmm. 64 minutes is how long the episode is.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
So I'll take that.
Yeah, that should be Blood and Cheese, which is going to be exciting.
And I'm so excited to see Daemon's character develop into... ruthless, because you kind of get a glimpse of it in the first season. Like, he is a savage.
His dragon is really cool.
Oh, yeah.
Spicy noodle.
Yeah, spicy noodle Caraxes. That is one thing I love. And I understand why they couldn't do it in, you know, Game of Thrones, because, you know, the technology, CGI, probably, it would have been so much more expensive. But I really like that they've given all the dragons unique looks and personalities
in
House of the Dragon.
Yeah, I mean, Game of Thrones, they all look the same. They're just different sizes and colors.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But not even colors, like, other than Drogon. I have no idea which one was which.
One was green.
Well, I thought we were watching season 7. Which one's the red one? And it was Drogon. He like looked red in that one.
Yeah,
Drogon used to have his huge compared to the other two.
Yeah, when you have them in the same frame, but when she just flies there in season 7, and like when Jaime runs at her, and like that shoreline keeps changing, he's like red in that whole instance, and he's by himself. Actually, that's such a sick scene when they're like just carrying the gold, and then they're like, "What is that?"
Yeah,
and fucking first it's people, then you just see the dragon come in.
Yeah.
I'm really excited for the Battle of Rook's Rest. Yeah, that's what I'm most excited for in season 2. Do you guys, you know, that happens in that one?
A bit.
Yeah.
A bit. I want to talk about
I want to
talk about it so bad.
I know. I can't wait to get there.
Rivers? Is that what you're pumped for?
Rivers.
The Rivers of Blood?
Alice? Rivers?
No, I don't think so. No, I'm just excited for dragon on dragon fighting.
Oh, yeah.
We'll get a lot of that this season.
Battle of Rook's Rest has a dragon-on-dragon moment that's going to be really fun.
Two-on-one.
Well, we can't talk. Well, you want to talk about it?
No, I don't.
It is a two-on-one. Well, it might be different because they are supplanting Nettles.
It could be a two-on-two.
They're subbing Nettles out with
Bela.
Yeah. So she might play a role in that based on the previews. I do think that that's her after the fact.
Okay.
I think they are also trying to plant more like Game of Thrones ties in too, because in one of the previews they show like three eggs that I think are supposed to be like Daenerys's eggs in the future. No, I was listening to something that you didn't see. It's in the specific ad, and in the book they don't take what's the oldest son's name, the bastard? Is it Jace?
Jace
yeah, because Luke
the older
dies.
One. Luke's
so yeah, because in the books he just goes and visits the Starks in Winterfell, but in the preview you can see that they're on the wall. So I think they are trying to do a little bit more tie in to like the actual Game of Thrones series.
I'm excited to see Kraegan.
Yeah, he's gonna be a fucking stud.
Yeah, it's because he's wielding ice.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but in the preview you see ice on his.
It's
back.
It's like a 7-foot sword.
Ned
in the Stark book.
Sword that Tywin melted down into Widow's Wail and. What was the other one that Brienne ended up having?
Oathkeeper.
Yeah,
that's probably the coolest one. Coolest name.
Yeah.
I feel like if anyone but...
I know, we gotta go back and get our...
Widow's Wail was dumb because he's like, I'm gonna call Widow's Wail. It's like, first of all, you're not stabbing anyone.
I think it was the Taint Terror.
That's what I was about to say. Yeah. Like if
Taint Terror.
We had the Taint Terror. We came up with our own when we were doing theories on series.
Blaster.
Yeah,
if Daemon was like, I'm gonna name this Widow's Wail, I feel like it'd be a lot more badass. But I feel like the fact that Joffrey was like,
Widow's Wail. A guy that never... Well, he did kill... people, but he never killed anyone in battle.
Yeah, he was just a
with a sword.
Yeah. Demon child, so I hated the name.
All my homies hate Joffrey.
Everybody hates.
I did see, like, he still has a hard time, like, getting acting gigs and, like, doing acting gigs because he's still so well branded
for
what he did
for
Joffrey. Yeah, he looks weird. He's a weird looking dude.
Yep.
Those
but he killed that role.
Kind of like
Draco Malfoy. Oh, he was perfect.
Yep.
like Draco Malfoy, the same issue, or if it, feel like
yeah. Is that. All right, so let's we can wrap up the cast here.
Okay.
All right. Well, appreciate everybody.
Appreciate you listening. Appreciate you watching. Yep. If you're watching, I hope my phone's still recording.
Sitting in the Appreciate y'all sitting in the courtroom here with us today.
Stevie P, thank you for showing up in person.
Yes, glad to be here, guys.
The boys.
Noah Howell. Thank you. I have to think about that. I know. Noah Howell. Thanks for coming in for another episode.
Yes, thank you, gentlemen. You did a fantastic job representing your families.
I can't wait to listen to the final edit of this.
I'm gonna have fun with it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, for sure. So. Like, subscribe, listen, watch. Watch it multiple times. Tell your friend to watch it. Tell your significant other to watch it. Do whatever. We love you all. Take care. God bless.
We'll see you on the 30th.
Yeah. Talk to you in 15 days. Later. Peace.
Tree Fort Gang is an Audio Boom original podcast. Edison is written by Aaron Sprinkle and is produced and performed by Soul Shifters.